to see each one of you today. Good to see Caitlin here. Amen. Good to see you back there. She used to come on our bus years ago, and now they grow up. But sure, good to see her back with us. Amen. And to thank the Lord for her. And good to see each one of you today. Well, most of you. Amen. Good to see most of you today. Amen. No, I'm kidding. You got to have a little sense of humor when you're a pastor. Amen. But I was referring mainly to Mrs. Bingham. That's who I was mainly referring to. Amen. And I tell you, Miss Bingham, she's just a hoot to be around. Amen. And if you ever go on a missions trip with her, though, she will mercilessly tease you, no doubt about it. Amen. She will. Any mistake you make, she's going to find it and just blow it up all the way. Amen. And so you pray for me on the missions trip this week. Amen. And anyhow, God is good anyhow. Amen. Amen. All right, Book of Mark, chapter number 1. Let's begin reading verse number 16 out of this passage of Scripture. The book of Mark, chapter 1, and begin with verse number 16. Notice the Bible says, "Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes." I want to give you some thoughts on verse 17 this morning. Jesus said, "Come after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible this morning, for this truth that you put upon my heart this week. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit, Lord, would meet with us in a great and powerful way this morning as we open thy word. And God, I pray for that one who does not know you as their personal Savior. I pray today they would come with an open heart to be saved, to trust you by faith. We pray that this morning. Lord, I pray that you work in each one of our hearts to, as this passage teaches us, to become fishers of men. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is one of the most amazing passages of the Scripture in all the Bible. And it's also found, the same passage, in Matthew chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. And we won't go there to read that passage, but there's a little bit of a difference between what Matthew said and his account and the passage of Scripture that we see here. And Matthew said it this way. Matthew said, "Come unto me, and I will make you fishers of men." And Mark, here in this passage of Scripture, it says, "Come after me, I will make you to become fishers of men." Now, a Bible skeptic, somebody who doesn't believe in the Bible, will take something like that and say, "See, the Bible isn't true. The Bible isn't accurate, Pastor. The Bible has contradictions in it." How many have ever heard that? Have you ever heard somebody say, "The Bible has a contradiction"? Because Matthew said, "I will make you fishers of men," and the same account at the same place is Mark saying, "I will make you to become fishers of men. What's the difference? Here's the point. When Matthew presents Jesus, Matthew presents Jesus as a king and as a lion. And kings give orders. Kings don't take orders. They tell commands. And so in presenting Jesus as a king, he presents, Matthew, Jesus the king who just says a command. I will make you fishers of men. But Mark presents Jesus and shows Jesus the servant that he is. The humble side of Christ. The lowly and humble Jesus as a servant. And so Mark tells us here, I'm showing you Jesus. He said, come unto you and I will make you to become fishers of men. He's saying something different, but and by the way, it's all the same thing. If you said it 20 different ways, but it presented Jesus truthfully and it's inspired by God, it's the same because Jesus is both king and a servant all at the same time. So what's he trying to say here? The reason this passage of scripture is so amazing is all of a sudden Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee. Now, Jesus is, you can just see him with his sandals walking on the shore of Galilee. Now, first of all, why was Jesus there? Did Jesus have some duty or some important reason that put him there? Why was he walking along the shore? And this leads me to my first point this morning. This leads me to why Jesus was there, is that Jesus was seeking for them. Jesus was walking along that shore because he was seeking for them. He didn't just get there haphazardly. He wasn't out on a morning stroll. He was there for a purpose. He went to that place seeking those men. Can I tell you that same Jesus is doing the same thing today? The Lord Jesus Christ is seeking after you. The Lord Jesus is seeking after us. Everyone on this earth, the Lord is walking along your shore of life. He's seeking you. He is interested in you. You say, who are you talking about? I'm talking about you, the one who said, who are you talking about? That's who I'm talking about. Jesus is seeking you. God leaves nobody out of his sight. Nobody. No one. God is seeking you. I want to say to you today, God is seeking after you. And the first reason God is seeking after you is because he wants you to know him as his Savior. God wants you to be saved. The Bible tells us it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why Jesus is seeking us. That's why Jesus is searching for us. That's why he's coming along. That's why you hear his voice in the nighttime. That's why you hear him as the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him. And he with me, I'm saying to you, God's seeking you. If there was a day when once you knew God, but you're far from God, I can tell you he's seeking you today. If there was a day when you were a better Christian than you are now, I want to tell you something. He's seeking you today. He wants you to come back to him. He wants you to walk again with him. That's why Jesus was on the shore. That's why he was walking. He wasn't just out on a morning walk. He had a purpose. He was seeking these people. Can I tell you what? There's a God who's seeking everybody in this world. There's a God who wants everyone in this world to come to him. And how easy it is for men to say no to God. Well, preacher, I'd come to God, but there's this thing in my life There's this thing in my life. Can I tell you what thing is more important than Jesus in your life? You say, preacher, well, I would come to God. I'd walk with God. I would hear his call. I know he's seeking me, but I'm not ready for it. Can I tell you what? If you're not ready for Christ, one day there's a rapture trumpet going to sound. And there, the Bible says, the trump of God will sound. The dead in Christ will rise first. The graves are going to be open when Jesus comes back again. And then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together and meet him in the clouds. But hear me today. If you never let Jesus come into your life, then you won't hear that trumpet sound one day. You'll never hear it. It will be a quiet sound to you. You will never hear Christ. And you'll be left on this earth to endure great tribulation and eventually end up in an eternal hell forever. Can I tell you, you don't know. If Jesus is seeking you today, come find him. Years ago, I pastored in Texas, and a few months before I had gotten to the church was on a main road, and on that main road, there was a guy driving a motorcycle by. And as he was driving this motorcycle, a car pulled out right in front of him, right in front of the church. That motorcycle hit the side of that car, and it sent that man flying. And can I tell you what happened? That man's body lay out on the road in front of the church that day. I hope he knew Christ. I hope he knew the Lord as his Savior. Because I want to tell you something. Jesus is seeking every person. Amen. There may be some problem or trouble in your life that could be identified as Jesus seeking you. There could be some circumstance that God has brought into your way, into your life, that, can I tell you what? God, it shows you God's seeking for you. God wants, and God will never be at peace in our heart, and he'll never be at peace until we are walking close with him. Amen. And we know we're saved and it's settled in God. Can you say that today? Amen. Jesus is seeking for them. He's seeking for you. But notice the second thing here is that these men were seeking for fish. Notice verse 16. Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into sea, for they were fishers. Now, how many of you like to go fishing? I like to go fishing. Amen? I like to go trout fishing. That's my favorite. But, you know, these guys were out there. They were casting their nets, throwing their nets out. They weren't interested in Jesus, but Jesus was interested in them. They were out there fishing. They threw the net out. Hey, we'll catch some fish today. We'll have some dinner. And I'm sure they were selling their fish. That was their monetary means of living. That was their occupation. Fishers. They were fishing. But they weren't interested in Jesus. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes along. And this is where the passage gets really amazing to me. It's because it says in verse 17, Jesus said unto them, come after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway, they forsook their nets and followed him. Now, do you see what's going on? Jesus says one sentence to them, and they give up their entire occupation. They leave their net. They leave their boat. And they go and they follow him. They must have been crazy. I mean, they must have not been right in the head. Something must have been getting messed up in their mind for them to leave all of their nets, their means of living, their boat, because somebody they never knew walked by and said, come follow me. Now, how many of you would do that? How many of you, if I came by your house, knocked on the door, and I said, come follow me, you'd give up your house, you'd give up your car, you'd give up everything? Don't laugh, Mrs. Bingham. I know she wouldn't do that, that's for sure. Amen. But how many of you would do that if anybody just walked up to you and said, come follow me, and I will make you to become a fisher of men? You'd laugh in their face. You'd say, you're nuts. You'd say, excuse me? What did you say? We wouldn't give it a moment's thought, would we? But there was something in it. There was something in it that made Andrew leave that net. He left that boat. He gave his heart and he followed the Lord Jesus. And not only that, but later on he went to his brother Peter. He said, Peter, you got to follow me. I found the Messiah. I have found him. You need to come follow me. And Peter gave it up and followed him too. Amen. Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus isn't saying go give up your occupation and follow him and wear, you know, go barefoot the rest of your life and walk around with a robe. That's not what Jesus is saying. What Jesus is saying is, I am seeking you and I want you to follow me because I have the words of life. And there is nothing in this world that is more important than having the words of life from Jesus in your heart and in your life. Nothing. Nothing. And they recognized it. They recognized that God was seeking for them even though they weren't seeking him. They didn't want Jesus in their house. How many people I know come to a church and they go for an alternative reason, you know? I heard a story about a preacher who went to church one time because a girl invited him. He said, boy, she's a pretty girl. I think I'm going to go to that church because that pretty girl invited me. And he went to that church. He wasn't seeking Jesus, but Jesus was seeking him. Amen. And he came, got saved, became a preacher of the gospel. God did amazing, wonderful work inside his heart. So you're here, you may be here today and you're not really thinking of seeking Jesus, but there's a Jesus who's seeking you. There's a Jesus who's after you. He wants you because he has the words of life. You see, in creation, we were made perfect, but yet we sinned and went away from God. And through Adam and Eve, we got that same sinful nature. And so God comes seeking for us, wanting to reconcile us back to him because he loves us that much. And even when we weren't seeking him, he still came seeking us. But when Jesus said, come after me, they realized it was his words, his love, his sufficiency. That was all that they needed. Oh, can I tell you what? There is a God who is all sufficient in your life. There is a God whose love will compel us. There's something about Jesus that just draws us to him. You know, Jesus, Christianity is the only religion in the world where the leader gave his life for the follower. All other religions, the follower was asked to give their life for the leader. But the great love of Christ is a compelling love, such that if he says, come after me, we know the heart by which he's speaking to us. Come after me. But once we come after him, what will he do? I'm decided to follow Jesus. Can I tell you what? That's a wonderful song. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I want to tell you something. When you're following the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, with all your heart, there is something about the love of Christ that draws us. We know He loves us. We know He's kind to us. He's compassionate. He is faithful to us. He never gives us a promise that He goes back on. He always keeps His word, and His word is always good, and we can always trust His word. But what's He going to do? He said these words, "Come after me." And notice the next statement, "I will make you." That's a great statement. Do you know God does the making once you get saved? Once you get saved, God begins to make us into a new creature, a better creature, a good creature. And it's not us doing it, it's Him doing it in us. I will make you. And what is it that does the making? The making is His words. When He gives us His words and we trust it, we depend upon His word, knowing His grace, His compassion, His faithfulness to us. When He gives us His word, we know that it makes us more and more. See, God has a work to do inside of all of us. He saves us. But as He saves us, little by little, He has a work that He's desiring to do inside our hearts and in our lives. What is that work? Someone once asked Hudson Taylor, a missionary to China, said, "What is needed to be a missionary?" Hudson Taylor said, "A yielded life to God, a restful trust in Him to supply your need, a willingness to take a lowly place, adaptability towards circumstances, steadfastness in discouragement, love for prayer and the study of God's word, some experience the blessings of the Lord's work right where they are." See, God takes us and makes us. You know what's wonderful? You and I don't have to make ourselves. We have to let Him work in us. We're reminded in Philippians chapter 2, it is God which worketh in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. All we have to do is say yes and let Him work in us. That's how God makes preachers. There ain't no preacher who wants to be a preacher on his own unless God works in him to be the man that He wants him to be. The missionaries on this board are here because God made them that. God made that. God makes. And I want to say to you, you may not be a missionary preacher, but God wants to make something in your life. Amen. He wants to make your life a diamond, a blessing. He wants to take you through and remake you and me. And may I tell you what? It's a good thing when God tries to make us what He wants us to be. We can tell Him no. We can say, "God, I got my plan. I'm doing my thing. Leave me alone. I'm happy." You can do that if you want. God's a gentleman. He doesn't force you. He's not going to twist your arm behind your back. But you'll never find what God has for you until you willingly allow God to make you what He wants you to be. See, that was important to Andrew. He said, "There's a God who said, come after me, and He's going to make me something." Yes, He is. And yes, He will. It's God that does the making. There was a lady who told the story of her work in China. She was a missionary, worked in China many years. And when she finished, a little girl came forward and gave her 12 pennies. She said, I've been saving my pennies now, and I want them to be missionaries in China. How happy the missionary was to receive those 12 pennies from that wholehearted child. Months went by, and finally a letter came for the little girl, which read, with your 12 pennies, I bought 12 Gospels of John. I gave one to each one of my class of Chinese girls, and they read the wonderful story in their own book. And today, all 12 of them gave their hearts to Christ. What an amazing investment you made. I want to say to you, God takes us and He wants to make us. Are you allowing God to make you? You know, the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 18 about a potter. And Jeremiah says, I went down to the potter's house, and the potter was working on something on a vessel on his wheel. And the old potters would spin that wheel, and as the pot would spin around, the potter would form it and fashion it and make it how he wanted it to be. And sometimes there were things in that clay that he had to take out. But you know, the potter, first of all, had to have one thing. He had to warm the clay. He had to warm the clay. You know, when the clay gets hard, there's no way God can make it. That clay has to stay warm. And the potter takes his hand and he begins to warm that clay, because when the clay is warmed, he can make what he wants out of it. And sometimes the potter will take some impurities or some things out of it, because that will take away the value of the vessel. So he pulls those things out, and he pulls all the sticks and all the stones out. And sometimes he realizes he's got to smash it down and start all over to make it again what he wants it to be. But when he makes it again, he does it well. And he does it right. And the point of the whole story is that he has a useful vessel for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I want to be. I hope that's what you want to be, is a useful vessel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because nothing else is going to matter when we die and get to heaven. Amen. Nothing's going to matter. Everything on this earth will leave behind. It'll all turn to wood, hay, and stubble, but only what's done for Christ is going to matter. And that is why God does a work in us. That's why he puts us on that wheel and he makes us. Over and over again. And by the way, God doesn't discard anyone. God doesn't take the clay and throw it out and say, it's unusable, I can't use it. Oh, no. He just makes it again. And he makes it again. Oh, thank God he does make us again. You say, well, I haven't really been pleasing for God in my life. God hasn't discarded you. God hadn't thrown you away. You matter to him still. He wants to take you and remake you what he wants you to be. And oh, that was important to Andrew. He dropped his net. He said, that's what I want. I want my life to be something that mattered. I will make you. But then notice fourthly, what did he say, I will make you? He said, I'll make you to become a fishers of men. You know, Jesus was saying there is something that we miss in our human understanding that brings us the highest joy that we could ever have. And humans, we miss it sometimes. And that is the joy of using our life to see somebody and many somebodies get saved and trust Christ. See, he said, you follow me, I'll teach you. I'll make you a good fisherman. How many of you ever had somebody teach you how to fish? You ever had somebody teach you how to fish? I taught my daughter Lauren one day how to fish, and we were out in Colorado fishing. And you know what that girl did? She outfished me that day. She caught more than I did. I said, no more teaching you how to fish, you know? But you know, I learned, somebody taught me one time, you throw a single hook out there, you might catch fish. But if you put two hooks on that thing, Sometimes you'll catch a fish who sees the one hook but doesn't see the other. Oh, that's a good trick. Amen. So I'll put two hooks on there. And then every once in a while, you'll catch two fish on one hook or two fish on two hooks. I've caught two fish on one hook before. And you pull that dude in. And you know what? Then there is another way of fishing. It's called a trot line. How many of you ever fish with a trot line? Boy, I've seen people on a trot line, they pull in, caught a fish, pull in a little further, caught another one, pull it in. They caught more than if you used two hooks, right? And then there are those people that use nets. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to just use dynamite sometime, amen? Light it, throw it down there, boom, all the fish come to the surface. That's my kind of fishing, amen? I like it. Yeah, that'll do the job, amen? But, you know, a fisherman has to become a fisherman. It's God that works in us. He teaches us. And as we become more like him, as we become more like him, he teaches us and makes us to become a fisher of men. That is the highest joy in a Christian life. My dad, one time years ago, gave a testimony when he had led his first soul to the Lord. I could see the joy and the tears in his eyes because he'd found one thing that God was trying to make him to be. And he didn't force it. He wasn't saying, I'm going to make myself this. He allowed God to make him into that. Can I say that's the key to the Christian life, is allowing God to make you what he wants you to be, because there's somebody who needs you. Did you hear what I just said? I said there's somebody that needs you. You say, me? Not me. Ain't nobody need me. Yeah, somebody needs you. Do you realize that God can use you in your way? Your personality. He gave you the personality he gave you. Amen. To be used for God. I knew a dear old guy named Stan Wilcox. Stan was a soul winner. He loved the Lord. And he told me one day, he said, now, preacher, don't ever ask me to wear a necktie. I said, okay. He said, when I got out of the Army years ago, I swore I'd never wear a necktie again. And he didn't. And we go out, we knock doors and talk to people about the Lord. You say, that's scary. Well, God can make that anybody that way. We knocked on doors, and I'd try to talk to people, and it wouldn't seem like I would get anywhere. But old Stan would step up, and with his humble voice, it seemed like he was kind of stammering and stumbling around, but he could talk to that person. And that person would open up to him, and he'd see that person get saved and come to church. And I looked at him and said, how did you do that? It was God using Stan Wilcox. And it's because God made him. God made him what he wanted him to be. And because of that, God took him and used him. There was a guy named John Ward. In the 18th century, he was an apprentice shoemaker. He made shoes. But he wanted to be a witness for Christ. And another apprentice was hired. And John repeatedly was talking to this other apprentice about spiritual things. The new worker, however, he didn't want to be bothered. Then one day he was caught exchanging a counterfeit shilling for a good one. And in his guilty humiliation, he asked John for help in prayer. And through the faithful witness of John Ward, that man put his faith in Christ and became a committed Christian. That young apprentice was a man named William Carey, who later became one of India's great missionaries. At one time, there were over 9,000 people in William Carey's church in India. He had a tremendous influence, a shoemaker for the cause of Christ. You know, it's interesting when you look at the world, when you look at this world, there's 9 billion people in the world. I can't imagine that number. That's way beyond me. 9 billion. But let me help you try to understand 9 billion. How many of you think that you could spend $10,000 a day? How many of you think you could spend $10,000 a day? Raise your hand. I know my wife can. Amen? How many of you think you could spend $10,000? I think I could, right? Now, if you spent $10,000 a day, how long would it take you to spend $9 billion? It would take you 24,640 years. Years. To spend $9 billion. That's how many people are in this world. The world is filled with people. And God says, Andrew, I want to make you so that you can reach some of those people. You know, this may sound funny to you, but you know that Americans spend more money. We spend more money in America on Halloween costumes for our pets than we do missions in this world. How sad. How sad that is when Jesus wants us to be the fisher of men. You say, what do I do? How do I do that? How do I have an impact? What can I do? And that reminds me of the little boy who's standing on the seashore. He sees this whole line of starfish that have been washed up on the shore. And they're all going to die because there's no oxygen until the next tide comes in. So the little boy reaches down and throws starfish in. And as many as he can, he starts throwing them in. And a man comes up to him and says, what can you do? You're not going to save all these starfish. You're not going to get them all saved. How are you going to do that? And he looked at the man, he said, through the starfish, and he said, I can save that one. He reached down, threw another one. I can save that one. And oh, imagine a shore full of Christians who are fishers of men that God makes. That God makes, not something conjured up in us. It's something God does as He works in our heart to give us this desire, to give us this desire to throw one more back in. And wouldn't it be amazing if everybody had this idea, how many more starfish could be thrown in? How many? Jesus said, I'll make you that. What is it that drives us to that? You know, I believe we need this kind of vision for the world. I believe we need the vision for our neighbors, for our families, our friends. I believe we need this kind of vision for our city that we live in, but not just limited to our city, but broadened to the whole world. Because, you see, Jesus said, go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And can I tell you what? This week we're embarking on a missions trip. And by the way, it's not just those going that are involved in it. This is a mission of our whole church. This is everybody. Because I want to tell you something. A church who sees that great commission allows God to do something inside of them is a church that God makes in us. God makes in us. You know, I learned something a long time ago. I can force myself to be something, but it really doesn't last. But if I hear the words of Jesus and allow him to make me what I want to be, it'll last. And it will make me what he wants me to be. So today, as I close this message today, I want to ask you, first of all, is Jesus seeking you? Is he coming by you? Does he want you? Does he want something in your life? He comes because he wants to make you something. He wants to make you something. And I know if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, I know one thing. God wants to make you saved. He wants to give you a home in heaven. But you have to say yes to God. It won't happen just by him wanting it. You have to open that door and let him come in. And then can I say thirdly, as you in your Christian life allow God to make you something, if you allow it, and he makes you what he wants you to be, you will find that God has a wonderful life in Christ for you to find a vision and a hope and a joy in seeing someone else come to Christ. In grabbing a starfish, throwing it back so it can live another day. But this life is eternal life that God wants to use us to give. You say, preacher, I don't know if I'm ready for that. You may not be ready for that, but I'll tell you what. If you let God make you, he can make you into something that you never thought you could do or never thought you could be. Jesus, you're seeking us today. Help us to do what you want us to do. Let's bow our heads this morning.